Good morning. My name is Jody, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Jody!
And I was walking up here, and I was walking, and Ann was standing beside me, and she was telling me, the mic is to record my message, my voice. If you can't hear it, move closer. Right here. Right now. Again, I was walking up with Ann, and we was talking about, you know, I hope the speaker, if you want to hear the message, make sure you get close, right? I say, well, I hope that guy got a big mouth, right? And before we got up here, or when we got up here, I told her I was the speaker. And she was like, wow, okay. I'm a grateful addict, man. My name is Jody, and I want to thank the God of my understanding for me allowing me to be here. Montgomery County area, the program committee, for seeing something in me that I probably couldn't see in myself. Because if I had my choice, right, I wouldn't be up here in front of all y'all people. And this is a big meeting, man. Yeah, you know, this is a big meeting. And I've been in this meeting probably like 4 times since I've been in. My clean date is April the 21st of 2002. So the 21st of this month, but God willing, right, and the help of you people, I'll celebrate 8 years. Yeah. And my first 3 years, every convention that I came to, I came to this meeting. It was cold. It was probably about 15 people. And I was like, yeah, I know ain't no lot of people going to be out there on the beach this morning. And look at this shit. I was talking to a member that was sharing their experience last night, right? And I was messing with her about being nervous. And I just told her, just shake it off. Just shake it off. You know? Friday, I was leaving home and my wife asked me, am I nervous? I said, no. I'll probably be when I get there, though. You know, and I told her, I said, well, that's how I kind of break my nervousness, by humility, right? Or not humility. Human, there it is. Thank you. I need a lot of help. Real brief, man. I'm a native Washingtonian. I started using when I was 9 years old. I got everything the disease of addiction promises you you'll get if you use. I went to jails, institution, and near fatal death many times. I seek my destruction a bag at a time. I didn't know when I first picked up my mood altering substance, right? My mom had like this pretty little wine dispenser, right? You just put your cup under that little thing. It had grape Concord wine in it. And you know, back then, drinking wasn't, as we think today, a drug. So it was socially accepted. And so my family drank and you know, they used to have parties and, you know, we used to have to clean up and, you know, the little Miller ponies and the Black Label beer cans, we used to sip it. And, you know, it kind of gave us this feeling that, you know, that you know, a happy feeling, you know what I mean? And, but needless to say, that my disease progressed from the time I picked up until I got to Narcotics Anonymous. This last time, I was 43 years old. I was a bum. My wife had put me out. The last job I had, my boss was calling me. I was at work, and we had them Nextel phones, and he called me, and I had just took a hit. And I was trying to answer him. But for some reason, it just wouldn't come out. I don't know why that happened. Right after you take a hit, you know, my lips get stuck. Needless to say, he showed up on my job the next day and told me to get all my pretty little certificates off the wall and hand me a letter of termination. And I was happy that I ain't had that job, because now I can do what I really want to do all day, right? And that was the last of many jobs that I got fired from. You know, I could always get a job, but I could never keep a job. I could always get a car, but I could never keep a car, because what was more important to me was staying high. And jobs and cars and bills just was in the way of me getting high. You know, I would pay some of them, you know. I remember, man, when I was coming up, and can y'all hear me back there? I see there? I remember when I was coming up, And I'm like the third child of six. And everybody that I thought was like my idols or somebody I should look up to, the things I really saw was the disease of addiction. You know, they drank, you know, they used drugs. And by the time I got here this last time, man, I was grateful. When I got here this last time, which I wish I was introduced to this program, I was probably 16 years old. I remember being in an institution, and a guy told me, he said, man, if you can't leave that stuff alone in here, you ain't going to leave it alone out there. And he said, the next thing you know, they're going to be calling you Pops. And that by my last incarceration, they was calling me Pops. Leave that TV alone. Sit your, I'm like, you know. So everything they was telling me, right, it really came true, right? So this last time when I got to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I met my sponsor. And Detox, somebody said, that's your sponsor. God rest his soul, Tom Stock was my sponsor. And that's where I believe I got my foundation from. They said when you get to Narcotics Anonymous, get in somebody's hip pocket so they can show you how to live. Because when I got to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, it was obvious that I didn't know how to live with or without drugs. So I got this sponsor. And Tom was one of the guys that, Tom went to AA meetings, CA meetings, and NA meetings. He went to all meetings. And I went everywhere he went. And I remember prior to getting clean this last time, and I couldn't stay clean, and I remember coming up to his house and him telling me that you'll get clean. Just keep coming back. And I remember another time I came up there and I was on it, and he kind of got into his feelings, and he almost told me, don't come up here like that. And he changed his demeanor and he said, man, come up here no matter what, right? And he told me to call him. Tom was a guy, man, that his pigeons, he had a 1-800 number, right? So he knew by the time you needed to call him, you was going to be out of money, right? So he had a 1-800 number that he gave his guys, and I had that number and I kept that number, right? And when I got to the program, man, this last time, man, and I got a sponsor, I had had a sponsor prior to this time. And I stayed keen, I believe it was like 8 months. And every time I got here, y'all put me to work, y'all put me in service, and I'm grateful for service because I believe that service was one of the cornerstones that kept me coming back. It gave me a sense of belonging. It gave me a sense of commitment. And when I got to the program, man, I wasn't committed to nothing but getting high and trying to kill myself on a daily basis. You know, I was reading, you know, one of the things that I do on a daily basis, man, is my sponsor kind of groomed me, and I've been doing this for the last 70-something years. When I get up in the morning, I got a daily ritual that I do. I do my prayer and meditation. I pray. I do the third step pray, and I read the Just for the Day. I need to read some Narcotics Anonymous literature. And what he told me was, man, you know, you need to read some literature in the morning because you need to understand that you're an addict and the disease of addiction is waiting for you when you leave, right? So you need to armor yourself up with something, right, that's going to be a defense against the disease of addiction. Because normally when I leave out the house, something happens that pissed me off. It might be somebody driving, right? I remember I was on my way to work, and this lady, I was going to this new job, and this lady, I was in the wrong lane, and I asked her, could I get over? She cursed me badly. And I'm looking at her, right? And the program kicked in, and I said, God bless you. She said, excuse me, sir, I'm sorry. Come on over, right? And sometimes what my sponsor told me was, sometimes you got to show people God, you know, because I'm a true miracle and under construction of the God of my understanding. When I got to the program, man, I couldn't get a job, right? I couldn't get a job. And they ain't give me no topic. So my topic, I told them that I was sharing on the theme of the convention.
Yeah. That's it.
The theme of the convention. More living than surviving, right?
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, through my addiction, man, I survived, man. Because of the program of Narcotics Anonymous, man, I'm living a life far beyond my means, man. You know, when I share my experience with people or where I'm at right now today, like people on my job, and I tell them where I've been, they don't believe me. And that's because the program of Narcotics Anonymous has changed me in a manner, man, that you know, I'm not the same guy that I came when I came to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And through practicing the principles and doing step work, man, my character, my action, my thought patterns is getting a lot better. I just really don't listen to my head sometimes, most of the time. You know, or I'll run it past somebody. I started using when I was 9, man. I don't want to get nobody high. I don't like to talk about drugs, but I started with a Miller Pony high bill. I use heroin for 20 something years, man. I smoked crack for 8 months. 8 months, man. That's all it took, man. I ended up in an abandoned house. And I thank God for crack cocaine. It'll get you here quick. My hat is off to y'all that can, you know, do what you do for long periods of time. But that shit whipped my ass. I was like 98 pounds. I'm like 160 now. I ain't never been this heavy in my life.
You look good, Jody.
Thank you, babe. I ain't never been this heavy in my life. And I remember, prior to me getting to the program this last time, my wife told me I need to go get some help. I said, you need some help. I don't need no damn help. I come from the streets, man. Don't help me help the bear. God damn it, throw honey on me. You know? And but I'm grateful, man, that through the judiciary system, you know, because that's how I got introduced to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I had a little blue car. I had to go to this daggone meeting. I was pissed off. Everybody was in there, was nodding and shaking and drinking coffee. And I'm like, what the hell? But nobody told me that if you don't stop doing what you're doing, that's going to be your ass. And that's what happened. When I got to the program, man, the last time, I had so much drugs in my system, I couldn't stop my head from shaking. And if you asked me a question and I had to answer yes or no, you didn't know what I was saying. You know, motherfucker, you be standing there confused, right? I was in bad shape, man. I was in bad shape. You know, since being in the program, man, one of the things that's happened to me, man, is I had an opportunity to get to know me, man. I had an opportunity to get to know me. I never knew me, man. I always wanted to be Megan or somebody. I always wanted to be somebody else besides Jody. You know, and I think I'm a pretty cool guy today. But back then, man, I didn't like me. I was short. That's why y'all can hear me, because that... I had a joke to go along with that, but I ain't gonna share that one, all right? I was short, man. I mean, like, short, you know. But when I got here, man, when I was coming up here, you know, being loud is like short people. They got a short image, right? So we talk loud. That's like a defense mechanism to get people up off us. They, you know, I remember my wife tell me, say, one day I remember you was talking to this guy. He was like 6 foot. You was yelling at him. I was scared to death, but trust me. But that was like a defense mechanism to keep people up on me. So, you know, that's why I can share my experience and keep, you know, let everybody hear what I'm not saying. You know, I run into an addict all the time, and he tell me, he say, you know, you one of the last to come off of this block that I used to use on, hang out with people like Said on. He used to beat me on, to smoke up all my stuff on his block, right? And I said, nah, they still up there, man. They still up there. And I am grateful, man, for the program, man. This program has afforded me the ability, man. Like I said, when I got here, man, I couldn't get a job. And it was because of my criminal background, right? And as a result of not using and not catching charges, right, I became a federal government employee. As a result of me not using, I became also a D.C. government contractor. Now check this out. I'm an addict. I'm a thief. I'm a liar. I like dope. I'm working in all the police stations in the District of Columbia. Don't figure that shit. When I go to work, when I go to work in the morning, right? Some of y'all might remember that familiar ride on that white bus that go down that ramp. I ride down it every day and ride up it. The third day on the job, I did a call in Central Cell. And I was looking, right, and the cells is about this tall. And I'm like, I probably was this tall, but they were really looking tall back then, right? And I'm like, you know, and I'm like, my life is kind of like unfolding, and I'm seeing how God has transformed me, right, and using me in places, man, that I never thought that I'd be able to go in. The third day I was in the police station, I walked past this room, it said evidence room. My room, my mind said dope and money. See what I'm saying? Dope and money. If I start smoking, shit, I might try that dope. You know? So, man, this program, man, has afforded me a life, man, far beyond my means. You know, they say when you get to this program, man, if you write a list, man, you sell yourself way short. You know, I've exceeded, man, a whole lot of milestones in recovery for the betterment of my life. I had bad credit when I got here. You know, I couldn't get a credit card. I couldn't buy a car. I always needed a daggone cosigner. You understand? And now, my credit is the top credit in the house. I'm looking for a house and it's going in my name. Another primary resident, and I'm talking about just living the program and the blessings of the program. I own my own business. I do heating and air conditioning work, right? And that's what I was doing when I go into police stations. I go in there and I check their boilers and I check their, you know, air conditioning and stuff, right? And they just, you know, how you doing, Mr. Jackson? How you doing, Mr. Jackson? I'm like, I'm doing fine. And I remember telling this officer one day, he was great, give me a ticket, and I knew the station that he worked in because we was in the area, right? And when I pulled out my badge, right, and showed him where I worked, it said the police department, right? Imagine that shit. My badge said the police department, right? Government contractor, police department. And I showed him. I said, man, I'll cut your air conditioning off, man. Don't do it, man. I cut your air conditioning off. And he said, man, you ain't supposed to be parking here. I said, man, I needed a cup of coffee, man. I got to get to my next building, right? And believe me, that badge, man, is a contra blanche for the city. Because it's some streets you can't go down. Like down there by the stadium. You can't go down there.
You can't make that turn.
I can make it. The program of Narcotics Anonymous say, I can make it. I can make it. You know, so, man, look, man, this program has done wonders for me, man, and it'll work in any addict's life, man, if you give yourself a chance. My first sponsor passed on. My second sponsor, the last convention, Alvin, he relocated. Prior to him relocating, I remember Tom being sick, and I remember coming to Tom and telling the man that, you know, I'm going to let Alvin sponsor me. And Tom told me, he said, well, why don't both of us sponsor you, right? And basically what he was telling me was that, you know, you can't fire me, man. You can't fire me. You know, so, and when Alvin left, Tom was Alvin's sponsor. And then when Alvin left, my sponsor today is his sponsor, right? So I have not yet been sponsorless in this program, right? They say if you sponsorless in this program, you got a what for your sponsor? An idiot. Oh, that's a wow. All of the above. Yeah, so, you know, I'm grateful, man, that this program, man, it's working in my life, man, and I want all that the program has to offer. I was reading it just for the day this morning, and it talked about priority meetings. Priority meetings, right? And when you get here, you know, you need to do a 90 and 90. Start doing something. Or get used to doing something other than getting high. And when I got here, I ain't had no jobs. So I ain't had nothing else to do but go to meetings and hang out with my sponsor. So that's what I did. And as a result, man, I put together 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, a year. And I kept on with the program. I do what the program suggests that you do. When I got here, I got in service. Today, my service position, I'm an H&I member. I take a meeting in a institution in Prince George's County Jail, and I am so grateful to go in that meeting, man. I am so grateful, man. I share with them guys, man, and I tell them, man, that, you know, it's a blessing, man, you know, to walk into a jail and walk out. That shit never happened to me. When I went in, man, that was it. I had to lay it down. You know what I mean? So I share that with them, and I also share with them that I ain't no different from none of y'all. The only difference is I found a way out through Narcotics Anonymous. And it was an example of other people, when I got here, that told me, shoot, something must be working in there. I don't know if it's the coffee, the meeting after the meeting, or the meeting before the meeting, but them jokers staying clean, and they starting to look good. You know, one of the first attractions to the program was my oldest brother. He got here 8 years prior to me, right? And he was way worse than me. You know, I had an aunt here, uncle here, and then when I got here, I started seeing people I used with, right? And their asses were staying clean. And I was like, damn. The program committee, Eric J., that nigga had a Mercedes. He was way worse than me on the street. He ain't never had a bicycle. He had a Mercedes. So I'm like, God damn, I got to hang in here, man. I got to hang in here, man. You know, I got to hang in here. And that's what I did, man. And as a result, man, I reaped the benefits of staying clean and living the program of Narcotics Anonymous and doing more living than surviving. You know, I don't have to survive today, man. It was terrible, man, to wake up in the morning and try to figure out how I'm going to get my next one. Because that was my first waking thought. Yeah. How I was going to get my next one. How I was going to get my next one. Before the next one was gone, how I'm going to get my next one. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't want to ever, ever, ever get caught up in the disease of addiction, man. And one thing I know, man, that was taught to me early, man, and I always say this when I share this at the jail, right? If the dope don't get you, the lifestyle will. So if I ain't working on changing my insides and my thought pattern, man, I got the same disease thinking, man. I will beat your ass. I will mess around on my wife that loved me, has been by me. I will take from my kids. I will steal from my job. Oh, none of that shit matter, man. If I get caught up in my disease thinking, and I ain't saying that I don't get caught up in it, but I get better at making decisions, man, that won't keep me on that path of destruction. Even when I make a mistake, or even when I fall, I get up, I brush myself off, I share it with somebody, and I keep it moving. And in the morning, I ask that God's will be done and not mine.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you, man, something about releasing control of your life,
yes, sir.
Right? A lot of times when you like going through your day, right? And then you wonder why you did something that really was contrary to what you really think.
Yeah.
Now I'm talking about, like, I was in the store the other day and I'm buying lunch. And there's a couple people standing beside me and they ordered and I just left the cash register. I look down. It's $45. So I look up at the guys.
Windfall.
You know. And I look back on the ground. So I picked the money up and I said, sir, did you lose this?
No.
He said, no, he ain't lose. So I asked the next person. I asked three people. And they said no. So I started hollering for the manager. Because I need help because I'm going to steal this shit. I hollered for the manager. And a lady stepped from the background. She opened her wallet. She said, sir, that's mine. And she had one of them wallets that when you fold it, if you don't close it quick enough, it'll fall out. That's exactly what happened. She said, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Was hugging me. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Because I know. Because and that has happened to me numerous of times, man. I remember I was smoking cigarettes. And one of the things, man, that when I got to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I used to smoke cigarettes. That's probably why I'm short. But y'all smokers, all right? And cigarettes, I used to smoke cigarettes, and I prayed on stop smoking cigarettes in my first year. It happened in my 18th month. And the blessing about it all is that I wasn't carrying no packs of gum around, no bags of candy. I just stopped. You know how I did it? Because I remember, right? Every time they locked me up, I couldn't smoke, and the damn thing happened. So I just stopped. I made a decision to stop. So what I did really was, just like the program tells you, man, anything in your life that's bad, if you surrender to it,
yeah,
you can defeat it.
Mm.
Surrender to win.
Yes.
So when I surrendered, I stopped smoking, man. I stopped smoking, man. And that's like 6.5 years, man. I ain't had a cigarette, man. Cigarettes was like the next to the second drug that I picked up. Because the first one was beer and the second one was cigarettes. After being in here, y'all already told me that you need to go past that. Because your ass was fucked up before you started using anything. And when I started looking back, I said, you know what? I was, because I stole, I manipulated, I lied. And as the disease of addiction progressed in my life, it got worse. And I started ending up in jails with people like Sid and Marcus and shit. You know? So I'm grateful, man, that I found a way out, man. This program is an awesome program. I don't know how much. Oh, I got about 15 more minutes. This is an awesome program, man. I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful for members. I'm grateful for my home group members that's out here supporting me. I'm grateful for my home group members, man, because of the fact that, you know, because of my work schedule. You know, they call me a Jamaican, right? Because I was working like 2.5 jobs. And I made a lot of money, right? And last year, man, I made like a lot of money. Let's just say that. I don't want to get making no ideas. I made a lot of money, right? And I decided to go back and get another license in school. I started to go back, well, not to school. I started studying and preparing myself for another license. And I remember the first license that I got, which was a third-class steam engineer's license. And I remember failing it 5 times. And I remember having to go to my home group and tell them I failed my test. I remember coming out of that damn building downtown and failing, man, and sitting on the wall and feeling like crap, feeling less than, feeling like I was dumb, feeling like I was stupid. I got 69, then it went down to 43. You know, and I'm like, shit. You know, and I kept fighting at it, man, and I wound up getting that license. And so I'm getting ready to prepare myself to get this license, which is the first class engineering license. That's going to allow me to make the money that I desire to make and don't have to work all them damn jobs. Right? And I pray in the morning, I ask God to, you know, make a way for me to study, right? Make time for me to study, right? Because I was working, like I said, 2.5 jobs. Next thing I know, the government contract ended. I'm like, God, I ain't say take my money, man. I'm like, damn, you know. The part-time job was a seasonal boiler watch, so, you know, that's like October 15th through April 15th, whoever permitting boilers off, no job, right? So both of the jobs are gone, I'm down to one job. So God do for me, man, that I can't do for myself, because I'm going to tell you, man, with all that money coming in, it's almost like me sitting in front of a big pile of crack. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to smoke till it's gone. I was going to work and work and work, and I probably would have been struggling, trying to get this license, man. Yeah. So, you know, that's the God of my understanding allowed me opportunities, man, to do what he sees was in my heart. That's, you know, this is an awesome program, man. I got a sponsee, right? I always get these sponsees, man, that you know, I try to get them to come up here, man. And I remember my first convention when I came up here, my brother brought me up here. And I told him, I said, man, look, man, I'll go, man, but you know, I gotta get me something to get me through the weekend. He said, all right, come on, go ahead. And he brought me up here. So my first convention, I was on it. My second convention, which was the convention that I stayed clean at, was Awakening of the Spirit in 02. Awakening of the Spirit. And that has been so profound in my life, man. My spirit was entangled. You know, it was entangled. When I think about this program, man, I can't find the words to describe this program, man, and what it has done for me, and what I have seen it has done for a lot of people, right? And I don't do nothing but follow. Hey, Niecy, shake it off. That's who I told you, shake it off. The people in my life, man, are recovering addicts, man. I need everybody in my life, man, the newcomer, the old-timer, the person that's struggling, you know, because there's a message in everybody's story, man. There's a message in everybody's story. And if I overlook anybody's story, you know, I'm subject to be that same person. I know I am. Because I know I'm that same person. You know, if I stop practicing the principles, man, and this program, man, somebody be bringing me a jail, bringing me a meeting in a jail somewhere. I know where I'm going. If I'm lucky, I'm going to jail, and I'm going to be talking about I need treatment. I'm going to tell them I need treatment. I've been, you know, and the good thing, like I said, you know, and I always share, I'm glad that somebody else knew I had a problem way before I did. And that's why I need people in my life, man, because I can't see me, man. I can't see me. So as I share with people and as I, you know, interact with people, you know, people can tell when I'm, like, going through, when something ain't right. And normally I'm even keel, man. I'm, like, smiling all the damn time, you know, because one of the things I understand is this, man. I'm the only one responsible for making me happy. And even in the midst of me being upset, disappointed with my kids, with my wife, with my daughter, I got a son. He's 23 years old. He seems to think that marijuana is natural and it grows from the ground and they're getting ready to legalize it. And it's okay. And he think it's okay. And he drinks. And I simply share with him, man. He know my story. Because when I got it, he 23. When I got it, he was probably like 15, 16, somewhere in there. I had really just enough time to kind of grab him. But he, like, you know, he really got his chest out. And, you know, we used to get into, like, verbal altercations, you know, because I want to kind of add some structure in his life. And, but I shared with him my story and how cigarettes, beer, and marijuana was a stepping stone to me doing what I did and taking me to where I'm going. And I said, if you don't stop, you're on that same destructive path. And at any time, you can, you know. And I tell him about his friends. He's like, and I remember they used to be my same thing. My grandmother used to tell me, you need to leave them daggone people alone, them people you're hanging with. Leave sad ass alone. You know, stop going around 17. And I'm like, they're my friends. They're my only friends. I'm like, who the hell am I going to be with then? Because I really needed somebody to be with. When I got in the program, man, I got all you beautiful people, man. I got all you beautiful people. And I would like my son, because he's like, you know, think he's grown, and I kind of share with him how, you know, when you start using and you start drinking and you start using drugs, you know, you kind of stunt your growth in, you know, you stunt your growth emotionally, physically, yeah, and mentally. You stop. So when I got here, I was probably 9 to 13 years old, somewhere in there, right? So I'm sharing with him, and I'm sharing with him, and I remember, like early in my recovery, me trying to, like, give him some structure, and me and him getting into a verbal and then a physical altercation. Now, he's 20-something, and I'm 51 now. So, you know, I couldn't go long. He wore my ass out. Thank God he didn't want to hurt Pop. But I tried to show him. You know, but now, man, the difference is that, you know, when he get swollen up and get in his feelings, and I see it getting ready to escalate, man, what I do is I de-escalate him. I let him know that I love him, right? And I want the best for him. And I get so much respect out of him, man. And I remember, you know, thinking back, right, how my mother and my father used to tear my ass up. I used to get good old-fashioned pitching cord, broomstick, ass whoopings, right? And you but not say nothing. We ain't mouth back. Them kids are dating, man, they. And one of the things I did, I remember telling my son, it's good to be able to voice your opinion. Not to mean that it's going to matter, but I'll hear you out. You know? And the more they go. So I let them go. And then I, you know, let them know. And their decision is really theirs. Their decision is really theirs, man. He going to get a story just like I got one. With or without drugs, we all get a story. So I try to let them live and thank God and pray that nothing happened to them, right? And kind of really kind of get out the way, because I can't stop them from drinking. I can stop them from drinking in my house. Well, no, I tried to. I had to go down there and empty bottles out, you know. Get this shit out of my neck, boy. What I tell you? You know? He used to be an athlete. Now he's smoking cigarettes and blunts. And, you know, I'm like, do you, man? You'll get sick and tired. You know, so, man, this program, man, has afforded me the ability to be a son to my parents, be a father to my kids, be an employee on my job. You know, I'm not a thorn. You know, I'm like one of the first people to get on my shift. I'm like there like 30 minutes early and shit, you know. And people wonder why I'm so damn happy. Why are you so damn happy? Monday morning, I'm happy. What? Why are you so happy, man? If you know where I came from, your ass would be happy too. And one of the things Tom used to say was, yeah. If you came from where I came from, man, your ass would be happy, man. So, man, look, man, even in the midst of the storm, I try to find some humor in it. I try to find some happiness in it. Or I find a message in it, man, because it's a message in everything that happens. And if you overlook it, your ass is going to repeat it. I don't care how painful it is. If you overlook it, you're going to repeat it. So I'm grateful, man. This program has given me some tools, man, to allow me to live, man, without drugs. Something I thought that I was going to die using. I remember telling the guy that I was using with, if I come to your funeral, I'll toss one in your casket. And if you come to mine, toss one in mine, in case I wake up. I might get a last breath. Shit! A blast from the past. Hey, you know, it's just a good thing about humor, man. Humor say one last time. One is too many. A thousand never know, so give me one more. Fuck it, I'm out the door anyway. You know, so this program, man, I'm grateful, man. I try to share with humor, man, because humor and laughter releases it. What they even say? They releases what? That do what? Yeah, make you feel good. That's right. So I'm always laughing. I'm always smiling, man. I try to find humor in everything, man. Because, man, when I got to the program in Alcoholics Anonymous, wasn't nothing funny. All y'all asses was laughing, and I was trying to figure out why. Nigga, if you keep coming back, your ass be laughing too. I'm an addict. My name is Jody. Thanks for letting me share.
Love you.